Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. And we will read the first two verses. Exodus chapter 5, verse number 1. "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.'" Our message tonight: why is it so hard to let go? Why is it so hard to let go? Father, we pray that you would be with us tonight as we bring the message, and help us, Lord, to take inventory and thought of ourselves. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to draw closer to you. Help us, Lord, that we would learn to let some things go. And that, Lord, tonight even would be the night that the lost sinner would let go of all that he's holding on to and come with empty hands to the Lord Jesus Christ. I do pray that you would help us to be a witness for the Lord wherever we may be. Help us, Lord, to take advantage of each opportunity to share the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to always be honorable as your people in the life that we live. Thank you for what you've done for us. Help us, Lord, to walk worthy. We weren't worthy of salvation, but now that you have saved us, help us to walk worthy and to do your will in the life that we live. I thank you for what you have done in this evening and what you will do in this next hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're all familiar with the Exodus. When I read through chapters 5 through 12, I'm always amazed at Pharaoh. You know what I think of when I think of Pharaoh? I think of Yul Brynner. Now, some of you have no clue what I'm saying. How many of you, when you think of Pharaoh, think of Yul Brynner? Nobody's admitting it. All right. This is not going to be good. The old movie where Charlton Heston plays Moses and Yul Brynner plays Pharaoh. I think of that. It's hard to get it's hard to get that away from my mind. That's one reason why, you know, several years ago I don't really care to go see the movies about Jesus. And one of the reasons for that is because I can't think about Pharaoh without thinking about Yul Brynner. And when I think about Jesus, I don't want to think about some actor. But I'm always amazed at Pharaoh when I read through, especially chapters 5 through 12, while everything around him falls apart and everything around him is destroyed, he won't let it go. He will not let Israel go. Why is it so hard to let go? Why is it so hard to let sin go? Why do we hold to it so much? Why do those babies, why do they want that crib back so much? Why is it so hard to let go? Why is it so hard to let bitterness and grudges and addictions and attitudes and hurt feelings and all of these? Why is it so hard to let go? Why? I guess there are many reasons that I could give tonight. I'm going to give three, and we're going to basically come at those from the angle of Pharaoh. It seems sometimes like it's so hard to let go of this world, to let go of the things of this world, to let go of sin, to let go of attitudes, and I just wonder why that is. And I think in Pharaoh I see three reasons. Number one, it's a control thing. Exodus chapter 5, verse 2 says, "And Pharaoh said, 'Who's the Lord?' Well, Moses said in verse number 1, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel.'" Well, who's the Lord? Now, Pharaoh had many gods. And now Moses comes to him and tells him that the Lord God of Israel says to let my people go. But who's the Lord? I don't know your Lord. I'm not going to obey His voice, and I'm not going to let Israel go. I see, one thing you've got to listen about and listen to, Moses, is you're not in charge here. I'm Pharaoh. I'm the king. I don't know who your Lord is. I don't know who your God is. But around here, I call the shots. Around here, I'm in charge, and I'm not going to let him go. Pharaoh began to live by this principle. He was king. He was Pharaoh. He was not going to let Israel go. He would not relinquish control. He was not going to let the children of Israel go. Now, look in the book of Exodus chapter 3, just back a couple chapters, and look at verse 18. This was actually the Lord's command. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 18 says, "And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God." This was the Lord's command. This is what the Lord had told Moses to say and what the Lord had wanted for His people. Well, Pharaoh's not going to listen to that. Pharaoh's stubborn. He's not going to relinquish his power. He's not going to relinquish his control. "I don't know your Lord. I'm in charge around here, and I say what goes on. And I'm not letting your people go. You're my slaves. You build my pyramids. You do my work. You make my bricks. I'm in charge. I'm not listening to you." Well, as these chapters roll on, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, and the plagues begin to hit Egypt, it's somewhat troubling to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh has this real big problem with control. And he's not going to let the children of Israel go unless it's on his terms. Let's read a few of these things. Look in chapter 8, verse 25. Exodus chapter 8, verse 25, it says, "And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." So is Pharaoh ready to let the children of Israel go? No. Not without calling the shots. Now what was God's command? "I want you to go and take and go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and offer the sacrifice unto me." Well, here's Pharaoh's opinion. Here's Pharaoh's word. "I'll let you go, but it's under my terms. You go and sacrifice in the land. You're not going 3 days' journey into the wilderness. You're going to sacrifice in the land." How about verse 28? It says, "And Pharaoh said, I will let you go under my terms, on my conditions, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." Now come on, you got to give me this. "I'm going to let you go, but you're not going 3 days. Alright? I'll let you go. But you got to give me this. You're not going 3 days into the wilderness." You see, Pharaoh, all along, it looks maybe he's trying to appear like, "Well, I'll throw him a bone here. I'll cut him a little slack, or I'll do this for him and I'll do this." But listen, he is not willing to let Israel go unless it's on his terms. Unless he gets to call the shots. Unless he gets to make the rule about what they can do. First he says, "Go and sacrifice in the land." And then he says, "Go, but not that far. You're not going 3 days." How about this one? Chapter 10 and verse 8. Chapter 10 and verse 8. The Bible says, "And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go, serve the Lord your God. But who are you going to take with you?" Let's talk about that. "I'll let you go. But who are you going to take? Who are they that shall go?" And Moses said, "We will go with our young, with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord." We're all going. No child left behind. We're not leaving anyone behind. We're not leaving our animals behind. We're all going. Verse 10, and he said to them, all right, let the Lord be so with you, I'll let you go. And your little ones look to it, for evil's before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. Now, you wanted to go, and you wanted to go so, you know, that was your desire. You wanted to go serve your Lord. Go. But you're not going to take your little ones. I'll let the men go. You see, Pharaoh will not let it go, and he will not let Israel go unless he gets to call the shots. There's one more here in verse 24. It says, and Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Listen, even till the very end, plague after plague after plague, he is not willing to totally relinquish control. He will not let them go under God's terms. He has to have at least some kind of say in it. He has to have Israel go on His terms and under His idea. He wants to keep at least some portion of control. And it's kind of how we are sometimes. Why is it that one of the hardest things for us to do is just to totally yield all of our will and totally yield all of our control? You know why sin is so hard to let go? Because it's a control thing. It really is a control thing. Why does everything have to be done on our terms? You know, I'd lose my bad attitude if... And I wouldn't be so bitter if... I'd be more faithful if... You know what that is? That's called not willing to yield. That's called not willing to give up control. If you would be more faithful if, then you're not willing to yield. You're truly not ready to yield and give up control totally to the Lord. We're still trying to call the shots. I get right. If so-and-so did, or I'd be more faithful when this situation is over, or if I weren't going through this thing and this situation at this time. You see, there's still that portion of us that has a very hard time yielding, letting go of the control of our lives. I have this guy at work. He's not one of the ones that directly works under me, but when he is sent down to my department, I'm the lead man, and I have the authority to tell him what to do. And if I tell him to go do something or ask him to do something, he will find every way in the world not to do it. Unless it's his idea. We were doing a job the other day. It was Monday. And I needed some help getting some materials prepared for an order we were doing that afternoon. And he didn't want to do it. So he went up and started working on something that's, you know, totally irrelevant to what's going on at work this week. And later on, he came down after he got done with what he was doing and then finally did what I asked him to do. He did it when he wanted to. He did it on his terms. I want to choke him sometimes. You think the Lord ever wants to choke me? Because I can see this so easily in other people. But if I'm honest, I'll admit that I'm the same way and struggle to really yield control in my will. You know, in the book of Romans chapter 6, look what it says in verse 19. Romans chapter 6. In verse number 19, it says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, your hands, your feet, your body, whatever it is, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. You know, the Bible says there in verse 19, as ye have yielded your members. You know, there was a time when we didn't know the Lord, and for those of you here tonight that are lost and don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? You don't really get it. You might think that you're in control, but there really is a puppet master that controls you. You have yielded yourselves as servants, it says there. You have yielded your members servants to uncleanness. And Paul says to the believers, you know, you have done that. You know, there's a time when we would just yield ourselves and our members as servants to uncleanness. And he says, now, why don't we yield ourselves and yield our members servants to righteousness? Yield. Give up. Let some things go. And let the Lord have control. That's why it's so hard, because we want to have control. And in Romans chapter 12, the Bible talks about our bodies being a living sacrifice. You know, a sacrifice doesn't really have any control. It's just laid there. It's spread out for somebody else to do with what they're going to do with. And the Bible says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's not going above and beyond. It's not going the extra mile. It's our reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our desire should be to yield ourselves to Christ's control totally, 100%. And yet we see in Pharaoh a man who's been told by the Lord what to do. He's been told by Moses what to do. And very specific instructions have been given. You let us go. You let our families go. You let our herds go. You let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness. There cannot be anything more specific. And yet Pharaoh 4 different times said, I may give in a little bit, but I will not totally yield to you, Moses. I'm not going to totally give up control in this situation. Yeah, I may be knocked down a little bit with some of these plagues, but I'm Pharaoh, and I'm in control, and I'm not going to give it all up. I'm not going to let all my control go. 4 different times, he tried to call the shots. Look at Exodus chapter 8. In Exodus chapter 8, we're confronted with a man who is so silly. In Exodus chapter 8, and this is a familiar passage, but this is the length that Pharaoh will go to show that he is in control. Exodus chapter 8, verse 8 says, "And then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me. Get rid of these frogs and from my people, and I'll let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only?" Any sensible thinking person would say, just now! Get rid of these frogs now! Come on! You mean I get to call the shots when they go? And to show, and I think in pride, to show that he was really compelled at the thought of having control when the frogs left, tomorrow. You can't do anything with someone like that. That just to show that they're not going to relinquish control, would choose to go the hard way instead of just saying, I'm sorry, just take the frogs away now. He says, tomorrow. It's a control thing, isn't it? That's why sin's so hard to let go. It's why this world's so hard to let go of. It's because there's still something in us that wants it to be on our terms, that wants to call that last shot, that wants to, I will do it, and I would do it if I'll be more faithful when. Number 2, it's a small thing. Why is it so hard to let sin go? Because, one, it's a control thing, but number 2, because it's a small thing. What do I mean by that? Turn back to chapter 7, and I'll show you what I mean. Exodus chapter 7. I don't believe that Pharaoh was ever truly convinced that things were as bad as they really were. And here's why. Look at Exodus chapter 7, verse 10. It says, "And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with that with their enchantments." And I still hear Yul Brynner saying, "Cheap magician's trick." But I think that as Pharaoh saw Aaron throw his rod down and it became a serpent, and he looked over at his wise men and his enchanters and had them do the same, and they were able to, I don't think Pharaoh was truly convinced that this was a big deal, what was going on. How about verse 22? After Moses and Aaron had lifted up the rod and the river had been turned into blood, notice what it says in verse 22. It says, "And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments." And after they did so with their enchantments, the Bible says, "And Pharaoh hardened his heart, neither did he hearken unto them." This isn't a big deal. My magicians can do what your magicians do. Chapter 8, verse 7. After the frogs have been called up by Aaron, it says in verse 7 of chapter 8, "And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt." And I think the culmination of all this is chapter 7, verse 23, where he said, chapter 7, verse 23, "And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also." He had just seen a staff become a serpent. He had just seen water turned into blood, and he could go into his house and not even think about it. He could go into his house and not even worry about it. That's kind of a big deal. But it wasn't to him. As he watched his magicians and his enchanters do the same thing, he went home that night and he didn't even think about it. He didn't set his heart to think about any of those things that he had just seen. Are you telling me that this isn't a big deal? Absolutely it was. But I do have to admit that my sin, in my mind, is not always a big deal. And my sins, certainly not as big a deal as yours. Could we think so lightly? You know, we hold on to sin, we hold on to the world, we hold on to the love of this world, we hold on to pride and strife and bitterness and anger. Do we get home like Pharaoh and not even think about it? I think one thing that convinced Pharaoh that it wasn't a big deal was, well, things aren't as bad as they could be. Right? Look at chapter 7, verse 24. "Now the river had been turned into blood," but notice what verse 24 says, "And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink." Well, see, things aren't as bad as they could be. Listen, muddy water doesn't taste much better than bloody water. But things aren't as bad as they could be. Chapter 8, verse 15 says, "Pharaoh saw that there was respite." They took away the flies and the frogs and all these, and when there was respite, see, things aren't as bad as they could be. It's not a big deal. I'm not going to worry about this right now. Is it a big deal? I think sometimes we underestimate kind of how big a deal it is. I'll read you a couple verses to show you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That verse says a lot. That the if I love the world, and I'm not going to let go, and I can't let sin go, and I'm holding on to it with both hands, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a big deal. That's 1 John 2:15. How about this one? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66, verse 18. You know, I know there's things that don't seem like a big deal. One Babylonish garment and a wedge of gold is not a big deal. And I think that's what Achan thought. And then 30-something men died. And I know that when Numbers 19 talks about how you have to wash if you've been defiled, and you have to wash and you have to stay clean and you have to keep getting cleaned up. I know that it doesn't seem like a big deal, but it talks about defiling the sanctuary and everybody becoming defiled. And now one person's little thing becomes a big deal. Listen, all sin breaks fellowship. It breaks fellowship with the Lord. It breaks fellowship with each other. It's harmful to us. It's harmful to everyone. And our desire sometimes to hold on to this world and to hold on to the love of this world and to hold on to the attitudes, the pride and the animosity, the anger, all the feelings of the heart that we try to hold on to, it hinders us from true joy and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Why is it so hard to let go? Man, you might be here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, why? You don't see that. Why is sin so hard to let go and you don't see how big a deal it was? Why is it such a big deal? I mean, it's just little things. You know, the Lord, turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. The Lord gave specific instructions to those that would not let it go. Did you know that? If there's something that you're holding on to tonight, maybe it's a sin, maybe it's an attitude, maybe it's a thought, there might be something that you're holding on to, and it's been a long time, and you just won't let that thing go. And now it feels like it's gotten to the point, I can't let it go. If you're here tonight and you can't let it go, here's what Jesus says to do. Verse 43. If you've got something in your hand that you won't let go, cut your hand off. That's how big a deal Jesus said it is. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. You know, if you're here tonight and you have got a hold on something that you can't let go, Jesus says that if you absolutely aren't going to let it go, if your hand would offend you, He said, cut it off. You say, well, now that's a big deal. That's a big deal, cutting an arm off. If you've got something in your hand that you won't let go of, and it keeps you from fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it keeps you from the joy of walking with the Lord, cut that thing off. That's a hard decision. That's a hard call. You say, walking around, cut my arm off. That's a really, really big deal. But why then do we think that holding on to the thing that hinders us is a small thing? Why don't we see that even the sin that so easily besets us, why don't we see the little hindrances in this world? If it's a hindrance and keeps us from the Lord, man, that's a big thing. That is a big thing. The Lord says, now go let it go. Listen, if you have your hands full tonight of this world, you would be better off to lose your hands. Because in the long run, it's better. Now, there's an easier remedy than cutting your hand off. Let that thing go. The love of the world's not worth it. Listen, it's not worth, it's not worth losing a hand over. But losing a hand would be better than walking around your entire life holding on to that thing that you won't let go. And I'm being very general tonight because for everybody here tonight, it's probably something different. Something that we just won't let go of. And we'll walk through life holding on to it in this attitude. It'd be better for us to walk around with one arm than walk around holding on to something that's keeping us from walking with the Lord. It's better to walk with the Lord in one arm than to walk around with two. It's a big thing. And I don't think Pharaoh ever got that. Isn't it a big deal? My magicians can do that. My guys can conjure up frogs. And it says he went to his house that night and didn't even think about it. What a big deal. If you're here tonight and the things that hinder you from serving the Lord, the things that keep you from walking with the Lord, if you don't really see those as a big deal, you're not ready to let it go, then you're not ready to walk with the Lord. Number three, lastly, it's a heart thing. Exodus chapter 8. You know, there's a lot of reasons sometimes we won't let some things go. Fill in the blank tonight. What it might be that you're holding on to. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's sin and it's sin full blown. I'm telling you, you're holding on to something that's so dangerous to your eternity. But listen, if you're here tonight and you're saved and you're holding on to a sin or to something in this world that's hindering you from the Lord, to some attitude, to some grudge, to some anger, you got to let that thing go. Exodus chapter 8, number 3, it's a heart thing. Exodus chapter 8, verse 15 says, when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart. Verse 19 says, then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Verse 32 says, and Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also. Chapter 9, verse 7 says, Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead, and that made him harden his heart. Chapter 9, verse 34, when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart. Listen, here's a guy that now, because he won't let it, now everywhere he goes, he won't let Israel go, and now he just keeps hardening his heart. And he's mad. And as he gets mad, the further he goes, the more angry he gets. And the more angry he gets, the colder he gets. He was so cold and so hard that his own magicians that had at one point conjured up tricks looked at him and said, boss, we can't do this one. This is the finger of God. And instead of it turning him to the Lord, it got him angry. He got mad. And then one day he looked out after all of his cattle had gotten the plague, and he looked at the cattle of the Israelites and saw that none of them had got it. That made him mad. And then he saw that there was a little respite with the thunderings and the hail, and he realized that Moses and his God could turn these plagues on and off and on and off, and that made him mad. And the longer the guy goes without letting Israel go, the harder he gets and the colder he gets. I'm telling you, we are not above that happening to us. The longer we live, as you know, whether it be, you know, look at us as believers, the longer we go away from the Lord, the harder we get, the colder we get. And I can see it in myself. I can see that as the days and the weeks trickle by and as the months come, and it just builds. And now silly things start to make you mad, and they start to make you cold and get angry. I mean, here are his magicians, his advisors, his counselors. Boss, we were wrong. We can't do this anymore. This is the finger of God. And you see his nostrils flare and you see him get angry. And he goes out and he looks at children of Israel's cattle. Nothing had happened to them. And he gets mad again. And he just gets so cold. And he keeps going and he keeps going. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And it got so bad that he let every family in his kingdom suffer. And I'm not talking about the nuisance of frogs in the cabinets. And I'm not talking about the loss of a few cattle out in the field. This guy's coldness and his hardness caused him to cost every family in his kingdom their firstborn child. That's how hard he got. That's how cold he got. That plague after plague after plague made him harder and colder until it cost the entire nation. They all lost. Ephesians chapter 4. Are you ready to close here? Ephesians chapter 4. I don't ever want to get to that point that I get cold and I get hard. Because I'm not willing to yield to the Lord and let go of all these things that I'm trying to hold on to. Yield. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, but being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling. Is it possible that people get to that point? Past feeling? And they've given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But look at verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. That's not what we as believers have learned in Christ. To walk like we used to walk. To live as we used to live. That's not what we learned in Christ. To get to the point where we could even get past feeling. Christians should never get to the point where things don't bother us anymore. Where our life, where we're not pleasing to the Lord and serving the Lord and following Him, where that doesn't have an effect on us. That's not what we learned in Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, put off concerning the former conversation the old man. So let's let some things go tonight. Let the old man go. The conversation of the old man, all those things in verse 25, let them go. Lying, verse 26, anger, wrath, giving place to the devil, theft, verse 28, verse 29, corrupt communication, verse 31, bitterness, let them go. Let's just let them go. Are these things really worth holding on to? When they hurt us, they hurt our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is control really that important to us? Are we convinced that this isn't as big a deal as maybe it is? Could it be that my heart has gotten so hard and so cold that I don't even look at things the way I used to? Could it be? And I'll answer the question, yes. That I could go home, not even think about it. Are there times that I'm not where I ought to be with the Lord? And I go home and I don't think about it. And I go to bed. And I get up the next day and do it all over again. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't want it to be that way. In fact, I'm tired of living that way. It's not worth it. It's not worth holding on to. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, it ain't worth holding on to. And this world's not worth holding on to. You know, Jesus had a lot in His eternal glory with the Father. He had the praise and adoration of angels. He had the glory and the brightness of the express image of the Father. And yet Philippians 2 says that He let it go. That's the greatest story of someone ever letting something go. Jesus Christ let go of all that, you know, of all that He had in heaven. He came to this earth for me. Boy, I got all, there's something wrong with me if I'm going to hold on to something in this world and not reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you holding on to tonight? Just let go of it. All right.